Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
Ed Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the Dirt Sheets. This is the only place you need to be going for your pro wrestling news, man. We take all the news from the week that was, and we round it up right here at the Dirt Sheet, Larson.
Correct.
And it's available right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson and wherever fine podcasts are. And be sure to hit that subscribe button, regardless if you're watching here on YouTube, because YouTube likes to unsub people left and right. Or if you're over there on the iOS podcast app or wherever you listen to the show, it's always good to hit subscribe, download. It helps us improve the ratings of our show. And it's just good for everybody. It makes everybody happy. Right, Larson?
Correct.
Right. Where else can we be found?
We're also on Patreon.
Oh, that's right. Patreon.com/Steven Larson. And you support the show financially. And in return, you get things like access to a live stream. And we've had a lot of new patrons over the past week. I forgot to read the new patrons on the last episode of Going In Raw, or on the Monday episode, or Tuesday episode, rather.
Yes.
The Raw After Mania recap. So I have them here. I like to give a shout out to the people who are opening their wallets to us, and so I'm going to do that right now.
Yes, please.
New patrons: the Illustrator of Science, Carter Severn, Maddie the Chin Macbeth, Von Schmidt, Matthew Audet, Hate Club President. Wow, Matthew Audet's getting some hate. Crazy. Lachlan Sherrick, Anthony Graham, Spencer Cantor, Triple H. Wow, the game himself.
Wow.
Matthew Quarenta, Dan Baxter, Christian Baldridge, Lucas Seltzer, Jason Balderson, Iron Panther King, Alexander Smith, The Ron Adams, Fanboy Anonymous, Russell Wilson, Knox the Rockstar, The Red Joker, Howdly Doodly Champion, The Diddly Doodler. What a weird name. Let's see. Hines, Kevin Zarelli, Patrick Lefebvre. Christopher Lockard, The One Piece Is Real, Shaq Zaddy, BG Wooten, J.O. Sky, Gus Irons, David Adamoski, Bray Wyatt's Projectionist, Chippy Young. That's funny. And finally, Guaranteed Pete on just pledged $1. So I want to say thanks to all of our new patrons out there.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much.
Yeah. We're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. We got 5 designs. Go check them out.
Yes, please.
But we're here to talk about pro wrestling news, Larson.
Yeah, so one of the major news items that kind of happened this past week following WrestleMania was Vince's announcement on Monday Night Raw that next week on Monday Night Raw, we're going to have a superstar shakeup.
No, come on, say it like Vince says it.
A superstar shakeup.
Thank you very much.
Shake it up.
So of course that leads to all sorts of speculation and rumors about who's going where, and you can sort of interpret different things on both shows, post-Mania shows, in light of the superstar shakeup.
Yes.
You can sort of take a look at what happened to various superstars and maybe speculate, okay, who's going where, but the Wrestling Observer newsletter just dropped, and there's, you know, maybe a bit more solid info, a bit more solid speculation.
Potentially.
And
like previously, we had heard rumors about AJ Styles going to Raw and Roman Reigns going to SmackDown, but as you mentioned, according to Wrestling Observer newsletter, that might not be the case anymore. Observer says, regarding the superstar shakeup, when we first heard about it, the talk was the key moves would be Reigns to SmackDown, AJ to Raw. This past week, we were told that Reigns isn't going anywhere, and the key moves were said to be Styles to Raw and the New Day to SmackDown. And then the Observer continues about how with Cena leaving for a while, moving Styles from SmackDown to Raw, seeing as Styles is pretty much the top guy over there, it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense, especially if the major moves are just Styles to Raw and New Day to SmackDown, because then SmackDown would be left kind of without, you know, a top guy.
Yeah, exactly.
They do mention also that with Shinsuke going to SmackDown, that might kind of, you know, lessen the impact, but still.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of a huge loss for SmackDown.
Yeah, what was also kind of interesting about his take on it was he interpreted And correct me if I'm wrong, but he kind of interpreted AJ's promo on SmackDown as evidence that he would go to Raw.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, do you see, because I thought, I read it kind of, I mean, okay, it's, I could see it in terms of like, I don't know, giving him some fire under his ass in terms of moving to Raw, because he was so blatant about this is where I belong, this is my home, this is SmackDown.
Yeah.
And then to take him to Raw, I could see that as being, you know, a potential story for him in terms of a newly faced AJ beefing with the Authority, but the Authority is now represented by Kurt Angle, so there's nobody there for him to beef with.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I don't really, I don't really necessarily understand how that would, could be, you know, what the through line is there.
Yeah, I know. I thought about that too. So I don't exactly know how they can utilize him, AJ, that is, being removed from the show that he wants to be on to go to Raw and further that angle, unless they somehow orchestrate it so it seems like Vince is the one that brought him over, and then he can have a feud with Vince, but Vince isn't on TV anymore, really.
Right, I know. That doesn't, I mean, that's, yeah, I agree. That's the only way it'd shake out, but that, you know, like you sort of said, that's sort of, that's grasping at straws there.
Yeah. And then the Wrestling Observer also mentioned that, you know, that it seems entirely plausible that Charlotte and Alexa Bliss could switch shows.
That seems plain as fucking day, too, because WWE just tweeted, or earlier this morning, they tweeted out like a screen, like a side-by-side screenshot, or a picture, rather, of Charlotte with like the Raw brand logo behind her, and then next to that, Alexa Bliss with a SmackDown brand logo stuff behind her, and it says, you know, which WWE superstars do you think should be moved in the shake-up? It's like, okay, well, we know that's happening. Like, that's, you know, both wrestlers sort of suffered the same fate on their respective shows.
Yeah.
And with nowhere else, or with nothing really else in line for them to do. I mean, on SmackDown, there's all sorts of potentials and possibilities. A lot of feuds haven't been explored because their you know, roster is a bit deeper than Raw's.
Yeah.
Prior to Mania, anyways. I mean, we've got Emma now, and Dana Brooke is still around on Raw. But yeah, that would be interesting. And then Naomi on Talking Smack said that she would love to face off with Charlotte.
Oh, so okay.
That seems like they are telegraphing that a mile away.
Yeah, it seems that way.
And I love that move, by the way. I really like that.
Yeah,
move.
Yeah, I think that'd be great.
But yeah, I actually really like Roman Reigns to SmackDown, but it seemed obvious. I mean, I figured it'd be pretty obvious given that Lesnar was calling out Reigns, and they're going to have Lesnar Reigns at Mania next year.
Yeah,
I would figure he would just keep on closing out Raw with his music.
Yeah, I would think so. And
it's a time-honored tradition at this point.
So I got to thinking about potential Raw stars, top-tier Raw stars, top-of-the-card Raw stars that can move over to SmackDown.
Sure.
To kind of balance things out if AJ were to move over to Raw.
Okay.
Problem is, pretty much all the main event and upper mid-card talents on Raw are involved in storylines that haven't necessarily been resolved yet.
Yeah.
Like Rollins would be a great addition to SmackDown. Problem is, he's still in a burgeoning feud with Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Unless they bring both of them over, which I doubt they're going to do.
Doubt
they're not going to split up that feud quite yet.
Right.
Jericho, he's not coming over. They've already announced his rematch against Kevin Owens at Payback, and he's leaving to go on tour this summer.
Is Sami Zayn a big enough name?
Well, he is. I mean, he's a pretty, you know, he's a solid mid-card star.
He's a solid mid-card star on Raw, but yeah. I think on SmackDown he'd be instantly in the upper mid-card. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he probably would, but I don't know if that alone is enough to mitigate the loss of AJ.
I just don't see. I'm not sure AJ's going to go over them. I mean, you can't send AJ over, like you said. I mean, is there one name that you do have in mind?
No, that's why I keep thinking about it. I can't think of anybody.
All right, I didn't know if you were like eliminating everybody before. No, let's go down the list.
Like Kevin Owens, he's the U.S. champion. He's not going anywhere because he's not going to send the U.S. champ without getting the Intercontinental champ in return.
Yeah. So we kind of interpreted AJ's little promo thing this past week, as kind of a face turn. I mean, it was a face-ish thing that he did.
Yes.
He didn't come out all bitter. He shook his hand. He smiled. I suppose they could try to keep him, like, maybe that was like a one-time thing, knowing what kind of crowd they were going to have. And if you bring in Sami Zayn, Then you can have AJ kind of staying there on SmackDown, protecting his own yard, although I know everybody's going to hate that word now.
Yeah.
But protecting his own territory, protecting his home against this, you know, incoming Sami Zayn, which I would be pretty amazing to see a feud with those two guys.
Yes.
But I just, I don't, I mean, we'll find out. But, man, I just don't know about Styles going to, maybe I'm thinking, maybe. If they had originally thought that they were going to ship Reigns to SmackDown, it would be directly to get AJ over to Raw and maybe scrapping those Roman Reigns plans and seeing how well the AJ Shane match was received and how AJ really has built himself as a foundation of SmackDown. Maybe they realize, okay, this is not, that's not a smart move. We got to keep. And on top of that, AJ, like what, AJ on the same roster as, you know, as Roman, Seth, and Finn Balor? Like, that's way too much.
I know.
That is way too much. And like you said, the other guys are embroiled in feuds already. I mean, there, part of me could see Rollins sort of being dumped out of that feud to go to SmackDown. You know, they do that sometimes. Like, they, you know, right hand starts building up a feud, and then left hand, whether it be at the draft, like we saw with the New Day and the Wyatts.
Yeah,
they split that feud up. I could maybe see Rollins, and only because of this. Because by the end of Raw, Rollins was kind of clapping for Finn Balor.
That's true.
Like, they're the two biggest faces right now. I could see maybe there's not enough room for both of them.
That's true.
I think that's a positive. Plus, you have the kind of awkward situation where Rollins is the guy that injured Finn. I don't think they want to heal up either of those guys anytime soon.
No.
And so that's sort of a big elephant in the room, but it goes away if you send Rollins to SmackDown in exchange maybe for AJ. But I mean, that's the only move I can kind of think of, because they don't, I mean, yeah, they haven't really officially gone down a Seth Joe feud. I mean, he sort of took his beef up with Triple H with his Mania match, as opposed to I want to get my revenge on Samoa Joe. So,
oh, I know, but you know, based on the tag match that closed Raw.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, it seemed like they could have been setting something up there.
Oh, no, I think they probably, you know, like I said, it could be a case of the right hand and the left hand sort of operating on two different things.
Yeah.
So, no, I imagine if Rollins stays on Raw, that's exactly what's going to happen. I mean, I think.
But also, I guess you can say that the face team, especially with Finn getting the pin, could be, okay, we're going to kind of close this chapter right now.
Right.
Finn is going to take the lead in this storyline, and now Seth can go do something else. That's entirely possible.
And I think they want to book Finn really strong.
Yes.
So having, and it's obvious they like this alliance between Owens and Joe. And so if Seth is out of the picture, that just gives more, you know, more of a adversity for Finn Balor.
Yeah, who's obviously going to get put into the U.S. title picture once the Owens Jericho storyline ends.
Right. Right. Exactly. So I could see Rollins possibly being the name that moves over.
Potentially. Yeah, that does make a certain amount of sense.
Or if they just keep AJ there, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I think what do you think about the New Day going to SmackDown?
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, me too. Especially with Dash and Dawson there. I mean, sorry, no. They're not there. Who's the Usos are there.
Yeah, they're the champs right now. American Alpha are there, but they could use the New Day to kind of anchor that division on SmackDown.
Yeah, no kidding. And then they need to. But then if DIY comes over, I still feel Dash and Dawson probably should have been on SmackDown.
Maybe, but apart from the club, there's no real heel tag team on Raw.
I mean, I guess if you move, when's the last time the club and the New Day feuded? They did feud, didn't they?
Yeah, a lot over the summer.
Over the summer, yeah, they did. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It was cute to see there was like this post-Mania video of AJ, you know, like sort of, it was a digital, like online thing. And it was cute because Carl Anderson was hugging him right after the
match. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I know. I like seeing friends.
I know. Buddies.
Oh, man. So anyways, let's
see. So anyways, we did a countdown a while back, a count out on the wrestlers we thought should switch brands.
Yes.
And I think we've made it pretty clear that we think AJ should stay on SmackDown. Who are some other people that shouldn't switch brands, that should stay where they're at? Beyond
Finn
the champions, because you got to assume the champions probably aren't moving.
Yeah. I don't know. Finn should stay.
Yes, Finn should stay.
We both like Sami Zayn leaving.
Yes.
Samoa Joe, Kevin Owens, they should stay on Raw.
Yes.
Although, I don't know. If you mix things up enough, I could see. I mean, Dean Ambrose can kind of go anywhere, and I don't know if anybody benefits or not. I feel like, is it just me, or is Dean Ambrose like a horribly underutilized component of SmackDown?
I don't know if he's underutilized or that's just what he does.
I think, you know what I think it is? I think his feud with Baron Corbin has been so under the radar, and then when they shoved it in the pre-show and then had the better match on SmackDown the next night.
I know.
I think my estimation of like how they're treating it is just, it's so in the toilet. Like, I don't know. I just, like, some days I feel like they want to push Baron to the moon, and at the same time I'm like, did he just leapfrog the title? I don't know. I get the feeling like Dean Ambrose, I don't feel like he's threatening the main event scene anytime soon.
No, I don't think he is either.
I feel like, The Miz is like a bigger name than Dean Ambrose, and
I know.
I don't know if that should be the case.
I know.
It's weird. He's I feel like he can go anywhere, and I just would be like, okay, cool, there's Dean.
He's like a solid addition to a roster, but he's not, you know, like a person that's going to put them over the top.
Yeah, he's a solid. He's a name, you know. I just don't know what he did. Like, when's the last time he did anything interesting? I mean, I like the Baron feud. I mean, last week I was like, oh yeah, they had a forklift. That's great.
Yeah,
but at this point, I'm like, they did nothing with them. They did nothing with that match that was interesting.
Oh, I know.
So I don't know. I'm kind of just, I don't know about Dean. I'm so in limbo on Dean.
Yeah, me too.
But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it
I mean, like, out. If he had dropped the Intercontinental title on, if the SmackDown match was a title match, I could see him moving to Raw.
Yeah, totally. No. Yeah, I totally could.
I'd actually, at this juncture, prefer Baron to stay on SmackDown because I think he's, you know, granted he didn't win the Intercontinental title, but I think he's in a good spot. And as I think I said before, there could potentially be some redundancy between him and Braun.
Raw. If you think about it, there's some redundancy between him, Braun, Kevin Owens, and Samoa Joe.
Kind of, yeah.
Like, there's a little bit of all those guys in Baron Corbin. Like, he's big like Braun. He's sort of a mercenary like Samoa Joe. And he's got anger issues like Kevin Owens. So, there you go. Baron Corbin is the love child of all three of those. Anyways. Check out that episode. I think our picks for 10. Because we've been getting that a lot on Twitter. @RealGoingInRaw.
Yeah.
People asking us to do a video on what should happen in the Superstar Shakeup, and we did that video not that long ago.
Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think. Kind of when sure rumors started stands. Floating around that AJ was going to switch brands and mm-hmm. Roman as well.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of odd that he said, yeah, the promo. I mean, did I just read that wrong? But I swear he said the promo felt like he was moving to Raw. I was like, it felt like he was staying in SmackDown.
Well, it felt like he's saying he wanted to stay on SmackDown. That's where he preferred to stay. So, I mean, I could see in one sense, because I think Meltzer mentioned it in the newsletter, the fact that, you know, he and Shane kind of put their issues to rest.
But not with Daniel Bryan. I guess that was that where you were going with that? Or
no? No, I'm not saying, because, I mean, like, it ended that storyline. And I could kind of see like, him saying he wants to remain on SmackDown. Kind of like essentially saying, this is my show. This is where I want to be. But it's also kind of like a roundabout way of saying, all right, thank you for having me here.
That could be like I've been the cornerstone of this franchise since it started. And, you know, I'm bowing out. Yeah, I can kind of see that, I guess.
Yeah, I can see it either way. I can see either interpretation.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about this women's tournament.
Yeah. So this past Saturday during WrestleMania weekend, Triple H and Stephanie were joined by Alexa Bliss, Bayley, and Asuka. On stage, at some, I think, some business partnership meeting or something like that. Mm-hmm. First, I thought it was Access, but I guess not. And they all officially announced the WWE Women's Tournament, which will feature 32 women from 17 countries and will air this summer on the WWE Network. Mm-hmm. So instantly, I got to thinking about who is going to be in this tournament.
Who? Yeah.
Who?
Apparently, according to Wrestling Observer Newsletter again, we saw a couple of them fight. It was funny, like, because I know Meltzer was at the Progress show that we went to, and he gave it some pretty high marks, especially for that tag match, which was fantastic.
Phenomenal.
So Toni Storm wrestled in that card.
And she fought, I think her name's Ginny Couture.
Ginny. Yeah.
And he mentioned her as well.
Yeah. So it looks like two of the top stars that we saw at Progress could potentially be there. Tessa Blanchard, her name has been mentioned. She's done some stuff in NXT.
And then a couple women from Japan. Is it Io?
I don't know, but Io Shirai. Is it Shirai?
Io Shirai. And then Kairi Hojo?
Kairi Hojo. Looks like Kairi Hojo.
He mentions them as well. And then Nixon Newell. And then, you know, I don't know if like some of like Crazy Mary Dobson, who's
I would
NXT.
Think it, yeah, she sort of addressed a rumor that she was gone from NXT.
Yeah,
but then she said no, I'm still, because she had changed her profile back from Sarah Bridges back to Crazy Mary Dobson.
Yeah. And then Kimberly, who I think made her TV debut this last television tapings that just happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Wednesday. I would think that would be a possibility.
Yeah.
I would think so. You know, some of the women that are currently in NXT who haven't had a whole lot of TV time would be strong candidates to take part in the tournament.
Yeah, I would think so. So it seems like the tournament is going to have kind of the same format as the Cruiserweight Classic.
Yes.
And will also apparently lead to, so they're getting contracts out for most of these ladies, and it should be leading to a 1-hour weekly show, similar to what they did with 205 Live, but this would probably not be live.
Yeah.
So that's cool. More people employed, more people with TV time, an entire, because I've noticed just sort of on my Twitter feed, a lot more of these women's wrestling promotions have been popping up. So now that WWE is sort of jumping into the fray, that'll be kind of interesting to see how they approach it.
Yes, definitely. And it'd be interesting to see if some of the if they try to bring in some of the, you know, like the top names in the U.S. independent scene, like Candice LeRae, who's married to Johnny Gargano. You know, we saw her at the NXT show when we were there.
Yeah.
And granted, I'm sure she was there to watch her husband wrestle.
Yeah.
But it'd be interesting to see if that connection would, you know, if she'd be willing to sign with WWE.
Well, yeah, one point that Meltzer made that kind of validated something we kind of have talked about before is just when you think of the indie circuit, like, I mean, you know, we keep our eyes and ears open as much as we can, and it does seem difficult to, a bit more difficult for the women to sort of break through in terms of generating buzz than the men. I mean, you know, you say, hey, what top five indie stars, or, you know, quote unquote indie stars, would you like to see in WWE? And immediately you go to like Ricochet, Ospreay, you know, names like that. Adam Cole, of course. But then you say, okay, well, name five women that you want to see. And you start, okay, well, Candice LeRae, like you said, but then, you know, and it's like, yeah, if you search, you can start naming some, but they're not like immediate, like the level of exposure they have just simply isn't there. And so, to see the WWE sort of going to that well, that's kind of cool, because then they're going to get that exposure, you know?
Yeah.
So that's good.
Definitely. Also, over WrestleMania week, WWE kind of confirmed that we're going to get a weekly localized United Kingdom show. I guess the top four competitors from the UK tournament, that was Pete Dunne, Trent Seven, Mark Andrews, and the UK champion Tyler Bate, made an appearance on 205 Live this week.
Yeah,
and Tom Phillips says something, you know, essentially, hey, we're going to do a UK-based show, and that was kind of it, right?
Yeah.
According to Wrestling Observer, there's going to be a couple of UK shows, UK live shows in Norwich, England, early May, that sounds like will be taped and possibly used for episodes of this United Kingdom show that I guess is going to happen at some point before the end of the summer.
Cool. Right on.
So, that's, I mean, cool. There's not a ton of information about it, but, you know, after the Progress show.
Progress, Larson.
Progress,
have to
sorry.
Say it properly.
It'd be really interesting to see how they, I mean, I guess if they have their own show, they don't have to, you know, adapt their storylines to what Progress is doing, because, you know, in Progress, Trent Seven and Tyler Bate are heels along with Pete Dunne, whereas in WWE continuity, that's not the case. Only Pete Dunne is a heel.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how all that works out, essentially. All those guys are great. Yeah. All the matches those guys were involved in at Progress were fantastic.
Oh, yeah. That was a fantastic show. And yeah, like you said, the matches they were in, especially, were really, really good. Mm-hmm. I would suspect that it wouldn't be long before they sort of had to readjust to those all three. I mean, Pete Dunne's going to be a heel no matter what.
Oh yeah,
dude's face is just heel. Trent Seven and Tyler Bate, they're probably starting to kick them off as faces, but I don't know, man. I don't think it'd be too long. They're so good as heels. Like, when we've seen them work heel, they're amazing. They're fantastic. So it really wouldn't surprise me if it didn't take that long. But yeah, you're going to want Pete Dunne trying to, you know, get that title off of Tyler Bate. I think who was it that told me that they actually did that at Access? I forget if it was one of the friendos that told me that, or if I saw it on Twitter or whatever. But after Tyler Bate's, one of his Axis matches, Pete Dunne came out and destroyed Tyler Bate and said, "I'm taking that title."
Oh, him. Interesting.
So I would think that would sort of be the initial, you know, the initial
story
title feud.
Yeah.
Would be Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. Then who knows what Trent Seven would do? Maybe work a program with Wolfgang or something.
Yeah.
I think that the WWE is going to keep them within the universe. I wonder how they feel about it. I mean, I'm sure Tyler Bate, you know, he's 19 years old. He's getting paid. He's living his dream immediately after, like, whatever their version of high school is. I forget what they call high school. I'm sure he's totally fine with whatever, because now they're where they want to be, essentially. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was the whole story in progress, that we're making names for ourselves here so WWE notices us.
Yeah.
And signs us.
Mission accomplished.
I know.
So, it'll be. But I think the interesting thing will be how the fans there in Norwich are gonna be taken to that, because they're used to these guys as a heel team.
I know.
So I don't know if they're gonna have to shoot something where they kind of if they shoot something where there is a face turn involved, or if they're just gonna start out fresh.
Just kind of maybe allude to
progress
continuity.
Yeah.
Without maybe addressing it directly. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's ways to do it.
It's going to be like some Star Trek shit, man. They're going to do some time travels now. Speaking of time travelers, Simon Gotch was released. Mutually agreed upon release was the phrase used by the WWE.
Yep.
He just worked the SmackDown prior to Mania. Did he work the SmackDown after Mania?
I don't remember. So. Yeah, that sounds right.
Was it SmackDown? I think he worked. Was it SmackDown after Mania he worked?
No, he wasn't on that.
I think he did the one before.
So it'd either be the one right before or 2 weeks before. But he was, he was involved in some capacity in the last couple of weeks.
One of the more interesting things to come out of this, I mean, there's not really much interesting coming out of this, but Mel in Wrestling Observer Newsletter sort of seemed to indicate that with his release, he's getting word that Aiden English is going to get like a singles push. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think Aiden English has some potential.
No, you know what's funny? I do too. Like, he's got tons of charisma. He can sing really good. He can talk really good on the mic.
Mm-hmm.
Get him out of this weed. Like, let's see what else he can do. What if they gave him like a Marty Scurll ripoff gimmick? I'm not saying I want them to rip off Marty Scurll, but the same type of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I could totally see him as like a very charismatic heel type.
Yeah, definitely.
I could see. Yeah,
that'd be good.
Set Aiden free. That's what I'm saying, man. Free Aiden. also, did you watch this? Did you watch the video?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
I watched it. It was Aaron Rex talking about being done with Impact. The former
Damian
Sandow.
Of course, Aaron Rex was formerly known as Damian Sandow in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And he did an interview. You watched the interview with Title Match Wrestling?
Title Match Wrestling, that's what it was.
Yeah, so he did this interview, and this is what he had to say about, I guess, his future. He said, "I don't know if this is going to be it for me because, you know, I'm no longer with Impact. Ending on this note is not a bad thing. I'm not saying that I'm ever going to get in the ring again, but this is pretty cool, and I would much rather people remember me for all the good stuff than to try and kind of hang on." In the video, did he elaborate anymore, or is that more or less what he's...
No. The pertinent quotes are here.
Okay.
He says he clarified his status with Impact when he talked to Hannibal TV, apparently. So possibly I'm kind of taking a little time off and just backing away a little bit. The business has been great to me, and I would much rather adhere to the number two rule in show business, always leave them wanting more.
And then he went on Twitter.
Yeah,
to emphasize that he isn't retiring, just taking some time away from the industry and, I guess, exploring other avenues.
He seemed really antsy in the title match video. He was chewing gum, like, very intensely, and he kept on, like, looking away. I'm not a psychologist. I can't read that. But just for some context there. I don't know. I wonder what other opportunities are, but, you know, hopefully he does good things. I thought he was one of the few things in Impact that I saw, like, and I saw very little of it, but him and Rockstar Spud doing that thing together. I was like, that's as interesting as I figured Impact could get with him. I mean, it was better than just normal dude coming out and being an ex-WWE employee like when he debuted.
Yeah.
But he was doing like sort of a Liberace type thing where he'd come out in trunks that were flesh-toned. That's fucking funny.
That is funny.
Anytime you can blur your eyes and think that you're watching a nude guy wrestle, that's fucking funny. And he seemed to be very much into the character, but at the same time, it's Impact. You know, I mean, I'm not sure I see Jeff Jarrett coming in and appreciating that type of character.
Yeah.
I don't know. I am not going to say I know what's going on inside Jeff Jarrett's head. But, you know, you put two and two together. You know, Jeff Jarrett comes in to handle creative, and then Liberace guy is not on TV anymore.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm just connecting dots here. But hopefully these opportunities pan out for him, and he's happy in his life. Same with time-traveling Simon Gotch.
Yes.
Although I kind of want to get to the bottom of that soda can incident. We should get him on here for a shoot interview, Larson. Shoot interview with Simon Gotch. So, first question one.
Question one.
Did Sin Cara throw a soda can or a full soda at your head?
Yes. Or was it a fist?
Which was it? Or did he throw a fist at your head? Oh, man. Anyways, we should answer some questions.
We should.
And we have some video questions, too.
We do.
Yeah. Let's see here. First question from Motor City champion Gene the Grappler. He said, did you have fun on the East Coast? Anyways, so you think WWE screwed up with having the Revival on Raw and Ty Dillinger and Shinsuke Nakamura on SmackDown? Or will the shakeup fix everything?
All right. People that just debuted?
They're not.
These are the shows they're going to be on for a while.
That's the show they're going to be on until the next shakeup at least.
Yes. So let's for at least a year, way. Ty... Shinsuke will be on SmackDown. Revival will be on Raw. Did they screw anything up? No. I don't think they did.
I agree with you on that. I'm trying to think that the Revival being on Raw, it presents kind of an interesting conundrum. Like, I know it's a whole division. You can have multiple heel teams. You should.
Yes.
But their stick is kind of close to the club. So, I don't know. Could you see the New Day and the club? Like, here's my problem. Here's my lone problem with the New Day going to, you know, it'd be cool. Send the New Day over to SmackDown to get American Alpha. Give them a clean slate. Send them to Raw.
Yeah, I think that'd be great.
That'd be good.
They had some great matches with the Revival and NXT.
Mm-hmm, yeah, but, yeah, no, they totally did. But send the club over to SmackDown. What problem would that present any problem? Because I feel like here's a problem. This is what I was going to say. The New Day on SmackDown is like they're so big. They're so big. Who's really going to threaten them? You know what I mean?
I thought
like
that too.
They're there. It's like dude, honestly, it's kind of like the New Day are showing up in NXT for all intents and purposes. There are no heavy hitters in that division.
Oh, I know.
So, I don't know, like send the club over there too. Have the club, like if American Alpha doesn't go, have the club versus American Alpha. Who'd want to see that? That'd be cool.
I know, that'd be great.
Like these two old grizzled bastard veterans against these fresh-faced baby faces who are like the tag champs. That'd be great. I would love to see that.
Yeah, that'd be great. As far as the Revival kind of having crossover with the club, I can kind of see that maybe a little bit. In the ring, I feel like the Revival are much more cohesive team in terms of working together and exploiting some traditional heel tactics.
Yeah,
we didn't see a ton of that in their first match on Raw, but I hope that's something they'll do down the line. But right, NXT, there was not a better heel tag team, I think, maybe in all of wrestling than the Revival.
Dude,
they are so good working in unison.
The Revival is, in my opinion, like this is for me personally, they might be my favorite tag team in the industry right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm even including the Young Bucks in that. And I love the Young Bucks, but I feel like storytelling wise, no one can touch the Revival.
Yep.
Nobody can touch the Revival. They're that fucking good. They are fantastic. That
Scott
being
Dawson
said,
is really good on the mic too.
Yeah, no, they're great, dude. That being said, when I speak on that, it's number one, the club, they can, I think the club can utilize the same type, not to that degree, not to that extent, nor do I think that that's their thing. But they're pretty decent at the tag team thing.
They are.
And but more than that, just the personality of it. You know what I mean? Like
if
the Revival didn't use the phrase fists, not flips, then the club could. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I sort of mean that in that respect. But, dude, the Revival are literally like, I mean, I can't think of a better tag. I really can't think of a better tag team.
Yeah. That kind Gorillas
of Destiny are up there, but.
Wait, what's that? Geez.
I said Gorillas of Destiny are up there.
Yeah, they're good, too.
Man. So
I was going to say that dovetails nicely into our next question. Aaron Sexton, do you think the Revival have what it takes to make it on the main roster and be a success? We've already seen what has happened with American Alpha, Vaudevillains, and The Ascension, other former NXT, graduates or NXT alumni, and to a certain extent the club. Unlike the rest of the tag teams on Raw, they seem more susceptible to jobber status. I think if that was their fate, they wouldn't have beaten the New Day on their debut.
No matter what, the Revival will always give you an interesting match in the ring.
Yes.
Regardless of what they do with them, they will always give you an interesting match in the ring. They have far more well-defined characters and chemistry than American Alpha did, who were basically, they had finished, I'll say this, American Alpha had finished Act 1 and had yet to start Act 2 in their character development when they got called up.
Yeah.
And that was put completely on hold, and all they do now is standard babyface stuff. I think they're terrific wrestlers. You and I, a year ago, said, man, these guys are going to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that being on main has done them any favors, but that's largely because they didn't have defined characters coming in. The Revival, wisely, were in NXT for a very long time just so that that could happen.
Yep.
And so I think there's a huge difference there. The Ascension, I mean, they had the Ascension that you were never going to get anything interesting in the ring with the Ascension.
No.
So immediately you have that out of the equation. And then they literally put a shotgun to their heads character wise on the very first episode they debuted. They did not do that with the Revival.
Yep.
So although, you know, Aaron Sexton here is correct in that traditionally the NXT tag teams haven't really, you know, flourished on main until we saw the Revival, DIY, and I mean those three and Authors of Pain. Those three teams really, really made NXT sort of next level with their tag division.
Yeah,
with three tag teams.
Yeah, and the thing about all of those teams is that they're very, very well defined.
Yeah,
even at this kind of early state in their development, Authors of Pain, you know exactly who they are. You know exactly what their characters are. You know exactly what their gimmick is. And it's something that could immediately translate if they were to be brought up in the very near future to the main roster.
Whoever is producing the tag team division in NXT needs a fucking raise.
Oh, yeah.
Or a promotion to main.
I know.
Because it is outstanding. I'm actually really looking forward to... Oh, man, you know what? So we're... Okay, so we didn't do an NXT 205 Live recap this week. Because it was NXT was a bunch of holdover matches, but man, what a couple of holdover matches those were! Did you watch NXT this week?
No, I haven't watched it yet. I was rewatching WrestleMania 33.
Dude, heel Bollywood Boys versus Heavy Machinery. It was fantastic.
Oh, I have to check it out now.
It's so bad because even as heels, they come off as really nice guys. Okay, perfect comparison. Perfect comparison. The Bollywood Boys are heels the same way Emma's a heel.
Okay.
Literally to the aviator sunglasses.
Okay.
That they wear inside. And they can't stop from being like very nice looking individuals. Like very, they look like they're too kind. They look like they look like cartoonish. They look like they're trying to be. They look like they're dressing up like Halloween heels. That's what they look like. They can't help but be themselves. They can't help but be incredibly nice individuals. It's and they get murdered. They get murdered by heavy machinery, man. They get destroyed. It's hilarious. And then we had Oney Lorcan versus El Vagabondo.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, it was so good. He got escorted from the ring by the same lady who took out Gronk. It was great. She put him in like a half Nelson, whatever. Like she like twisted his arm behind his back and grabbed his hair and like threw him out of the ring.
Oh,
basically.
Wow.
It was fantastic.
That's funny.
Oh, I love the Drifter, man. He's supposed to be showing up sometime soon too on SmackDown.
Good.
Oh, I love it. I just really wish it was whatever show Corey Gray. I wish it was Raw.
I know.
I really do wish it was.
I know.
Bums me out. Anyways, next question.
Next
question. Loser weight. Number
the
one
loser
contender.
Weight.
No, I'm doing this one.
Sorry.
Hacksaw Ben Thuggin. What a great name. He says, "Dear friendos, congratulations. Due to NXT's success, Triple H has decided to try another developmental idea, and he has hired Steven Larson as bookers. The concept is an all-tag team league with teams consisting of one established WWE talent paired with an indie wrestler in order to give them the rub, sort of like the early NXT pre-Nexus idea.
Yeah.
They need four teams to flesh this idea out. I would," he says he would pair Dean Ambrose with Sami Callihan. That's pretty good, being they have some good history as a tag team.
Interesting question.
What a good question. I like this. Okay, so let's say you're bringing in Ricochet.
Yeah.
Who would you pair him with from Maine?
Seth Rollins.
Oh, interesting. All right. What about who would you pair with Adam Cole? It'd have to be Finn Balor, right?
Kevin Owens.
Oh, okay. That's obvious. Good job.
Me and that's the Mount Rushmore Wrestling.
Mount
that's
Rushmore Wrestling.
Right there.
Well done. All right. I'm going to keep throwing these at you then. Silas Young. They're bringing in Silas Young. Who would you pair him with?
Sheamus.
Sheamus. Didn't you say somebody?
Yeah, it was Sheamus.
It was Sheamus. He said Sheamus kind of reminds me of Silas Young. Because he looks like he forgets how to wrestle sometimes.
Yeah.
And then I'll give you one last one.
Okay.
I'm going to throw you. That's too obvious. Hold on a second. You get shit. Who's the annoying dude from the Kingdom?
Matt Taven? No. What's his name? Vinny.
Kingdom Ring of Honor. What's his name? Marseglia. Vinny Marseglia. No, I don't want to. Hey, how about this? Bobby Fish. Who would you pair Bobby Fish with?
That's a good one.
No, Michael Elgin. Who would you pair Elgin with?
Braun Strowman.
Oh, that's good. Oh, my God. Who wouldn't want to see Braun Strowman and Unbreakable Michael Elgin together?
I know.
What a good question. Thank you, Ben Thuggin.
Thank you. You're Benny Phillips. Hey, friend. I've been a patron for a while, but this is my first question. In a dream scenario in the future, Bobby Roode forms a four horsemen-like faction with the Revival. Who is the fourth man?
What a great man. That's fantastic. I'm going to say this, man. I'm going to say Charlotte.
Yeah, that's good.
Four Horsemen needs a flair. She's the second nature. That's what
I would say. If not Charlotte, Cesaro.
Really? I don't know, man. People like Cesaro.
I know.
I'm not sure I'd want to see. I think Cesaro to succeed, he simply has to be Cesaro. I don't think he could ever like be heel Cesaro. I think that just diminishes because I don't think he's a heel. He seems like the freaking nicest guy there is. I'd love to interview Cesaro.
Yeah, me too.
Sheamus and Cesaro. The 18th to last real man, Xander. The 18th to last real man, Xander McIntosh. Say Vince wants to pick up fun wrestling as a real life thing under the WWE banner. Hey, at this rate, anything's possible. Though the WWE is just taking up everything these days.
I know.
You get to pick 10 guys to form the Raw. I'm sorry. You get to pick 10 guys from the Raw, SmackDown Live, and or NXT rosters to play the fun characters, such as Cesaro as Finest Cat because he has body hair and a suit already. Good point. Which do you choose and why?
Who would Cass would be top notch super best.
Cass would be top notch. That's good. Who else? Who would be Captain Fun? That'd be Callisto, right? Or yeah. Was it Sin Cara? Which one was
Captain? Sin Cara, yeah.
He literally looked like Captain Fun at the Andre the Giant Memorial.
So that's two.
Who would be
Butch Hunks? Bacon.
Oh, Butch Bacon, Dean Ambrose, right? They both wear jeans.
See, I feel like in terms of moveset and Seth charisma, Rollins. Seth Rollins would be
Seth
the better
Rollins,
Butch Bacon.
Bacon. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. What about Fun Haas? That's got to be Djokovic, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
He literally looks exactly like Fun Haas.
Yeah.
Make a star out of Djokovic. And then what Five. About... hey, what about...
Heel Supreme. Braun Strowman.
Yeah, that'd be Braun. What about the Golden Corraler?
I mean, he's not with WWE, but it'd have to be Silas Young. Right? Right?
That works for me. I have to have the last say on that one. That's good.
Right. Who else? Who else is featured prominently on Fun Wrestling? Man dying of thirst. Thirsty man, sorry.
Oh, see, to me, that's Cesaro. No, see, Cesaro's already Finest Cat.
Yes.
Oh, Finn Balor.
Because at the end.
No. That's Aiden English.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's good.
He is so thin. He's like Bizarro thin.
What about Bread Chef? Kevin Owens?
Yes! It's totally Kevin Owens. That's good.
What about...
How about we move on, all right?
Okay.
Okay. Juggernaut's the Going In Raw Grand Slam champion. He says, I can't quite explain it, but even with all the super interesting stuff that happened on Raw and SmackDown over the past 3 days, I haven't thought of anyone else in WWE more than Roman Reigns. Juggernaut's is obsessed with Roman Reigns. He says, I watched the segment on your Raw recap talking about him several times. It's almost 20 minutes of that. I listened to it over and over, and while you guys enjoyed it, I thought he could have said a lot more. That promo could have been a huge turning point for him is what I was waiting for. With all that said, do you guys think he could have been over in an era where the business wasn't exposed? There wasn't such a thing as a smart fan. Yeah, he would have been huge in like Magnum TA's day.
Yeah.
He would have been fucking like if you literally transplant Roman. Are you kidding? Look at him. And that was all that people really cared about back then was how they looked. Lex Luger was super over back then.
I know.
I mean,
I think Reigns could have been over in the early to mid 90s too.
Yeah, absolutely.
As far as his promo, I thought that was perfect.
Oh yeah, no, I'm with you.
That was perfect. The less he said, the better. What he said was perfect. This is my yard now. Throw the mic down. Walk out of the ring. That was perfect.
He has a big old smirk on his face.
Yep, perfect.
Yeah. No, that was
because there's so much unsaid that said a lot.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I rewatched the Undertaker Reigns match.
Oh yeah,
WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And you know, he starts out the match, for the vast majority of the match, he's defiant. After he wins, you can tell there's some reservation there for a bit. Then by the time he walks up the ramp and poses, those reservations are more or less gone.
Yeah.
It's his yard now.
Yeah.
So there is an arc there.
He has confirmed it is his
It is his yard.
Yard.
He has the deed.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you this much, man.
For that piece of land.
I'm interested to see, like, what happens with him next.
Yeah.
I mean, just from the standpoint of trying to figure out what they're doing, if it is, in fact, directionless or if there is direction there, if there is a grand plan, it's going to be interesting to see. You know?
Yeah.
If it's going to be him versus Braun coming up next, which apparently is according to Meltzer, something that might be happening.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see how they handle all that.
Yeah.
You're up next with the next question.
Colin, where do you see Aiden English in this? I assume referring to Simon Gotch as release. Does he get repackaged as a singles wrestler, stay the same character, and just jobs? He's talented. He is talented. We spoke about this earlier. Steve's idea is good.
I like that. I like charismatic heel guy.
Yeah.
Sort of flamboyant, charismatic heel with a bird mask. Just rip off Marty Scurll altogether. Yeah. No, you know what's funny, though, is that if you go back and watch all those NXTs from, like, 2013 or whatever.
Yeah.
2012, 2013, whatever it is. He was totally the jobber to the incoming stars.
Yep.
Bray Wyatt, Seth Rollins, I think a couple others. They'd always trot them out for their first match against Aiden English.
Yep.
So maybe it's his time for somebody to lay down for him.
Yes.
Let's see here. We have some video questions. First up from Alexander Carenti. Let's take a look to see what Alexander has to say.
What do you guys think about WrestleMania being this long of an event? It's almost an 8-hour all-day event, and in my opinion, too much of a good thing is bad at times. And as much as I had fun with WrestleMania, I personally preferred NXT a lot more. It felt more special being a little bit shorter. So do you guys think WrestleMania should be a little shorter? Maybe try and focus on the stories that you want to put on the show a little bit more? And did you guys also prefer NXT over this Mania? Cheers, guys. Thanks.
Thank you, Alexander.
Thank you. Yeah, it's way too long. Mania is way too long. According to Meltzer, is like the longest sports live event like ever, or broadcast or whatever. I don't know. It was way too long.
Yeah, it's pretty long.
It was way too long.
It was pretty long.
And he said, should it be shorter? Yes.
Yeah, they could probably cut at least an hour off.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And knowing that. And Meltzer even makes the case that it could be over two nights. I don't know if I ever see him doing that.
No.
I don't know. I'm going to just skip the pre-show next time. If we do this next year, I'm going to skip the damn pre-show. I'll be like, hey, Larson, I'll meet you there. Let's see here. Oh,
I'll go for the whole thing. I don't care.
He also asks, what did you prefer, NXT or WrestleMania? I'm going to give this an answer. I'm going to say NXT. But on the flip side of that, if somebody said, hey, Steve, I have two tickets. One says WrestleMania, one says NXT. Which do you want? Of course, I'm going to say WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like that is the thing that you kind of have to do.
See, because you say, I'm going to make the same comparison that you do to Raw and SmackDown, where you say Raw is the show for huge events, whereas SmackDown is the show for stories.
Mm-hmm.
And that same thing could be applied to this comparison. Mania is the show for events because we got to see the Hardys return. We got to see probably, most likely, The Undertaker's last match ever.
Right.
Those are huge events.
Yeah.
And we got to be there to witness them.
Yes.
Granted, we had to stay in the stadium for like 8 hours to take those two huge moments in. But yeah, we also got, you know, a handful of pretty decent to very good matches.
Yeah.
NXT across the board was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much every match was good. If not great.
Yeah.
It was a shorter show.
Mm-hmm.
The seats were more comfortable. So taken as a whole, NXT was probably the more enjoyable experience.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you can't, those huge moments that you only get at WrestleMania, you know, you that's something you can't take for granted either.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be completely honest. WrestleMania was like literally the least enjoyable thing for me to do over the 5 days we were there. That being said, it's also the one I'm most glad I went to because I got, you know, there's always something about witnessing history.
Yeah.
And in the wrestling industry, history was made on several levels.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that I wouldn't have missed for anything, even though I was miserable damn near half the show because the way they presented things, and we had good seats, but goddamn, like there was these strobing lights that were just murdering my head. The seats were horribly uncomfortable. They pack us in like sardines and we have to sit there forever and it's not enjoyable. But that being said, I was there for it. Mm-hmm. You know, I was there for, I will guarantee this is Undertaker's last match. I was there for it.
Yep.
And I wouldn't have traded that for anything, even though I had a blast at Progress. I had a blast at WCPW. I had a blast at the Internet Darlings, and I had a blast at NXT. I mean, NXT was fucking awesome. NXT was probably my most enjoyable experience.
Yeah.
But that being said, there's something about being there for history, and I'm, you know, I would never want to take that away.
Yeah.
Kevin Larb has a video question. Let's see what Kevin has to say.
Hey, Stephen Larson. So I just got finished listening to the WrestleMania and the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania shows that you guys put on. And I am so happy that you guys got to go to WrestleMania this year. I know how hard you guys work and how much this show has grown over since you started putting it on, you know, 200 episodes ago. I'm so happy for you guys. I know how much you guys love wrestling, and I'm so happy that you guys get to do this for a living. My question for you guys is this. I got to go to WrestleMania last year, 32. Probably should have gone this year, but we had a blast in Dallas. We did the travel package because I'm here in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and it was nice that we didn't have to, you know, book a hotel ourselves. We didn't have to get tickets for ourselves. It was all together. But my question for you is this. You guys went to 33, of course, this year. Are you able to go into any kind of detail as to, you know, did you guys go through like a travel package, or how did you guys acquire your tickets? If you don't mind saying, if you feel comfortable with that, have you gone the travel package route? Do you recommend it, or did you go another way? Now, we're debating going to WrestleMania 34 next year in New Orleans. So again, I'm kind of wondering, you know, since we did the travel package before for the 32 trip, should we do that again? Or do you guys maybe recommend going through other channels, maybe using other sites for booking, things like that? Thank you so much for the show. So proud of you guys. Please keep up the excellent work.
Thank you, Kevin.
He's asking for your insider tips, Larson.
Oh, okay. Well, we didn't get the travel package. Right. We kind of did everything a la carte to give us more flexibility.
If economics are nothing, then it's probably best to do it a la carte like we did, because you can just tailor your experience to what you want to do.
Yeah.
I mean, we rented a car. We rented a place. Like a 2-bedroom house, so that we could both stay there. And we could, we didn't have to, like, we weren't killing each other. Because we were there for 5 days and we had to work. You know, but if the travel package, if you look at the travel package and economically it works for you, then go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
There are obvious benefits to that. One being, obviously, everything's done for you.
I know, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, it might take a little bit, a couple more, like some heavier logistics to do it the way we did it. But, you know, we're older. We know what we like. We know what we can handle. I mean, it's kind of, honestly, it's kind of the same thing with like WrestleMania itself. It's like, I did the entire thing, like from, you know, our little pre-show meetup with the friendos all the way through to the end. And I'm like, okay, well, now I know what I would do different, because of the experience that I did have, how I could make it more enjoyable for myself and appreciate the historical moments more.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I'm just going to do things different next time.
Another thing with the travel packages is you know, there's various tiers, and some of those tiers might include things that aren't as important for you to do as, say, go into an indie show some afternoon when, according to your travel package, you have some lunch meet and greet, you know?
Right, exactly. Like, if you really want to go to Access, then, you know, you're going to have the opportunity to do that. But, you know, if part of the travel package is you're putting money in for that, and you don't want to do that because, you know, I've heard some people say that Access is miserable. Some people love Access.
Yeah.
We didn't go to Access. We went to a bunch of indie shows instead.
Yeah.
So it all depends on
depends what kind of experience you want. If you just want to get in, you know, a wider array of wrestling, then I would recommend doing things kind of a la carte. If you're going to WrestleMania strictly for a more WWE-focused experience, the travel package, you know, might be for you.
Right. We have one more video question from Keith Thigpen. Let's see what Keith has to say.
After WrestleMania, I mean, even with call-ups that we think are going to happen, do you think the WWE has a problem with flooding the top with too much talent? I mean, I don't know if it was because of that Dean and Baron got moved to the pre-show, which I thought was ridiculous for an Intercontinental title match, but I don't know. It just seems like we got too many guys up top, and how are they going to handle that? Are we going to see Attitude Era-esque 4-month title reigns now? Or, I mean, I don't know. Let me know what you guys think. Talk to you later, guys. Bye.
Thank you, Keith.
Thank you, Keith. Yeah, there's a lot of talent in WWE right now.
Yes.
And not everybody can hold the universal or world title. It's kind of an interesting question, though, interesting point he makes about, are we going to see more shorter title reigns? I mean, before Lesnar Reigns at WrestleMania. Number one, let me ask you this. Lesnar Reigns at WrestleMania. Is that definitive in your mind going to be for the Universal title?
Yeah.
Okay. It's not just going to be a passing of the torch, no title needed. You need
I think the title is going to be involved, yeah.
Well, let me ask you this then. Is there the possibility that Lesnar drops that title at any point between now and the next Mania, or between now and then, rather, to somebody like Finn Balor, who needs the title?
No.
I would think no, because he's not going to drop the title. Is there a way to get that title off him besides somebody actually beating him for it?
No. I think more or less, for the next year, the U.S. title is going to be the top title on Raw.
Right.
From, you know, on a day-to-day basis.
They'll have more flexibility with the world title.
Yes.
I'll be honest with you, man. I'm kind of done with Orton Bray. I kind of just stopped giving a shit. There are too many people who...
Yeah, I want them to move on from that.
They need to move on with that. And look, man, Randy Orton can do interesting work. We've seen that. We've seen that as of 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
Keith's point here is completely apropos. There are too many names who you want to have a part of that legacy, who you want a part of that lineage. And the world title right now is not on somebody who needs to keep it for a year, because I agree with you about Brock 100%. So the world title can bounce around.
Yes.
Randy Orton has had that title 14 times now. Doesn't need it anymore. Doesn't need to have it right now.
No.
Especially if this was the shit that we're going to do. Like, if it was to put Bray over, great. That's awesome. Bray is a future money-making machine.
Oh, yeah.
Why does Randy Orton still have that title? What is the point? AJ could be more over with it. Bray could be more over. Bray was more over with the title. Yes. I don't know. I don't get it either. We'll see what happens after the shakeup.
Because they're going to have their match, their House of Horrors match at Backlash May.
To me, that sounds like a blow-off, right?
Yeah, it should be.
And it's a House of Horrors match, which you'd think Bray might win, but I don't think he's going to, do you?
No, I don't either.
Who's Orton going to face next? Who's going to take on next, though?
Well, if it's not AJ, if he's leaving, I honestly don't know. Shinsuke?
But then who's the heel?
Well, Randy would have to be.
Yeah. I don't know.
Unless it's Baron. But Baron's not going to... I don't see Baron winning the belt then.
Yeah, I don't see him knocking on that door until November.
Yeah.
For a while.
Unless whoever they bring over from Raw happens to be a heel. But I don't know who that would be.
We'll know a lot more 1 week from now. We're dropping
this. Yeah, we'll know more.
A week from now, we're going to be mapping this shit out till next WrestleMania.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, man. Sounds good.
Sounds good.
All right. That's it for Dirt Sheet. Thanks for tuning in. Till next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.